Romans chapter 12. Let me mute everybody. Romans 12, verse 9. I referred to it this morning. Romans 12, 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy, or sincere, or genuine. It's a word. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Let's pray. Lord, you're good to us. You're patient with us. You're patient with our country. And Lord, we look with disdain on so much of what people think and do today. But it's because, Lord, we see your word by your grace, and we would be in the same place of some kind of rendition without your grace. People are groping, Lord. They are scared. They're scared of being wrong. They're scared of being convicted. They're scared of, in some cases, being criticized or not fitting in. And so they're compromising and following a bad crowd. And others, Lord, just are vehemently angry about something. And something's gotten into them from childhood that's made them mad, and they can't release themselves from it. And Lord, we know the devil holds people in various ways while holding sway over all the world. I pray, Lord, we would have, by your grace, a good outcome to this, or that we would see your hand work mightily. And that's what we need, Lord. If you would have mercy upon our land, it will be completely of you. For, Lord, there's nothing we can do. And the world's not seeking the gospel as it should be. Lord, you have sought us with the gospel. So I pray, Lord, we would see much fruit from this. In Jesus' name, amen. When people talk about God, he is not the God the Bible talks about. You know, you can't say, do you believe in God? Because that won't really say much for people. They believe in God. You don't get very far with that, because God is undefinable or defined by their imaginations. For example, most people in our world, at least in this country, think of God as a gushy, spongy, flexible, and easygoing God. He's like one of us, except the kinder version of it. He's everybody's friend. He encourages every person to be just what they are. You'll hear people who are condemned by the Bible or condemned by society of being a certain way, and they will run to God and say, well, God understands me and God accepts me the way I am. And this is the way the world views their gushy, spongy, flexible, and easygoing God. He doesn't have a judgmental bone in his body. He wouldn't say a judgmental word to anybody. He's ready to take every person to heaven as they are, just as is, through whatever religion or whatever name of the God they serve is. You know, many, many names for God, but, you know, everybody gets there. This is what the world believes. And when they do naughty things, he cracks a wry smile and says tisk tisk before laughing it off, because he's not concerned. He knows we're naughty, and he kind of gets a kick out of it. He's only love. He's on everybody's side, and he wants us to love without prejudice. He wants us to be the epitome of the hippie movement of the 60s. Free love, and just, you know, stoned all the time, and loving everything and everybody, and hugging trees and rocks and all that. He will follow you wherever you go on Sunday, so you can worship him wherever you end up being in the environments outside in the world. And you don't even have to pay attention to him. People all the time saying, I worship God on the golf course. And I know that's not true, because they're not going to think about God one time as far as worship on the golf course. But in the mind of the world, he just goes with us and, you know, even has some disdain for all these church people, such hypocrites. He never makes us sick. He never sends calamity. He never makes us go through hard times. That's the devil that does that. The devil, anything bad happens, that's the devil. All that God does is good, and he plans to save every person. It's his plan to save every person, and the only way that won't happen is if the person just refuses to be saved, won't take the free gift offered. And he thinks repentance is nice, but it's optional, really. You don't have to change it all. You just come there with what you've got. Offer him whatever you've got. I can't live righteous. I can't live holy. I can't go to church. I can't read the Bible. I can't pray. But God, would you just take me as I am? And oh, of course I will. You don't need to repent. This is the ideal God the world makes. And that's the basic mentality of people who make God. Their mind takes over. And they make their own God, and it really doesn't take long. It's scary. It doesn't take long for them to believe that that is actually how God is. That's the frightening aspect. You know, a kid will have an imaginary friend, but parents sometimes will worry about them because they have an imaginary friend, but they usually get on past that. Or it seemed to be harmless. When adults have imaginary gods, we're talking about a major problem. And they believe their own mind about this and many other things. Remember at the end of Revelation, we were warned not to add or subtract to the Word of God. That's a similar problem as to what we see when people add or subtract from the character of God. He's not judgmental. They subtract that. He's gushy love and accepts everything. Well, that's added. So there's important things around the text here in Romans 12 that I think go with that attitude today where people have done something that has gotten them off course. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, means it. By God's mercies, we can do this, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In other words, that we're to be servants of God by the grace of God. It's not a punishment to serve God. It is by the mercies of God that we can serve him. And then this important statement by Paul, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. People don't realize how essential that command is. If you lay yourself out there without any kind of willpower, just float through the world, you will conform to it. There are many things today that are being followed that are the result of groupthink. Comes on TV, people get an idea about it, and it takes off. It forms in people's minds. And they hold it as near to truth as the truth itself. They're convinced. It just goes on with a lot of things. And there have been studies about it. I found it kind of fascinating that people without scientific fact or historical fact or any other fact can conjure up in their minds things, and then it spreads. It's like a disease. It spreads among people. So you might get on a college campus, and you'll find that the professor says something, and the administration says something, the school targets something, and soon the whole student body is on board, as though it were gravity and some kind of scientific law. So don't be conformed to the world. The world thinks against God. The world thinks according to the ways of the devil, who is the god of this age. And we're not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, your mind, unless it is renewed, makes all that stuff up. But if you're transformed, your mind is transformed, and you put your mind on fact and not upon imagination, and you appropriate God as he is rather than what people say he is, then you are, you're not conformed, you're transformed, you're different. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. People make up the will of God when they make up God. Oh, it's God's will for this, and it's not. So don't be conformed. Be transformed. It says we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves. Verse 3, through the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. We're part of a body. We're one body in Christ. We have our place. We're not to be uppity and think of ourselves as totally essential, independently of others. And then it gets to this, our text. Let love be without hypocrisy. Could have been misunderstood. We often think of hypocrisy in the sense of someone, you know, pretending to be something they're not. But that's really what it's saying, that you shouldn't pretend in love. You should love. And there's a command here to do two things: to abhor, hate, detest, despise what is evil, and to cling to what is good. Now, if you notice in that verse, in the first case about evil, the hate is specified and the stay away is assumed. If you hate evil, you would stay away from it. In the second command, cling to what is good, love is assumed and stay away. To cling to it is explicitly expressed. So you have understood that if you cling to something, you love it. And you have understood that if you abhor something, you stay away from it. So the Bible commands that we hate evil. That doesn't mean we hate people. We have enemies. The Bible is very merciful about saying that God is saving people, that we should love our enemies. But sometimes it's hard to differentiate because the Bible also recognizes that we have enemies, and sometimes we pray for their defeat. But we would still rather that they be saved. We're to pray for kings and all in authority. They're clueless, and yet they have a big responsibility. And God wants to save them, as far as we know. And he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we should pray and ask that God would do that. That would be a much better thing than just to have them sizzled out of the world. So why hate evil? Well, it seems obvious, but by nature, we love evil. Evil is what we gravitate toward. That is a mark of the natural man. We embrace evil. And you can't make it non-evil by loving it or coddling up to it. It destroys. Evil destroys soul and body. Evil makes mischief in the world. Evil takes many of innocent people who are not directly involved in something that happens, takes them into the consequences of it. Evil in a father will mess up the entire family, will cause abuse, and cause the children to be afraid. And evil in the fundamental areas of life for kids, they don't know God. They don't learn about the Lord. They grew up unbelievers. They grew up agnostic. They grew up atheists. They grew up not knowing because they don't have any instruction. That's evil. It makes misery and hopelessness and emptiness and vanity and deception. You got a loved one who never believed in Jesus? Well, you hate evil because they're eternally separated from God if they've died. Ever seen a little evil stir up a whole lot of bad things? That's evil. Evil just is a contagion. It spreads. The least little thing just goes crazy wild with evil. That's why it's such a hard thing for parents. They prepare their children to go off to college. You know, kids land in college, they're landing in the middle of a lot of evil in most places, secular institutions. And Solomon instructed his son, look at Proverbs 1. This is what Solomon was concerned about, is that his son, heading into the world, was going to be enticed to evil. Verse 10 of chapter 1, Proverbs. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. You probably could have said, when they do entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause. Just, you know, evil to be evil. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We'll find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their paths. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread a net, baited net, in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. You see, that's something the world doesn't understand about wickedness, is that they're not just being wicked toward others, they're ambushing themselves. They're destroying themselves. That is the way of evil. Verse 19, so are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. That's the nature of evil. Oh, who would love that? Well, the whole world. The Proverbs talks about obeying wisdom. And wisdom calling aloud and trying to get simple people to understand and follow. That's what we have today. We have a bunch of simple people who just don't want to follow wisdom. Down farther in verse 32 of Proverbs 1, the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Complacency means you just don't do anything. You're not concerned. But he who listens to me, wisdom, shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. There it is. That's what Solomon was after for his son. That they not go to be evil. And wisdom protects you from the dread of evil. Does it feel like that is a good course of action to take, though, for a young person? It's very important. This is why the Bible speaks of having the Bible verses all through the house, having them where they're seen all the time. It is very, very abusive for parents to leave their children without an education in the things of God. It means their minds are completely open to whatever comes along. They become complacent. They become just things that catch other things. They become flypaper. Everything flies by, it just sticks to them. They don't make any discernment. They don't make any filtering process. They just, it's on them, and then they go that way. You think people get hooked on drugs just, you know, willfully? Yeah, let me take this and get hooked on it. Well, they might take it willfully, they surely do. But the effects come upon them, and once, before they even can start thinking about they don't want to do this, they're hooked. They're addicted. And so many would give you that testimony that they were foolish. They didn't set their mind on what was right. That's evil. But what is good is something to be clean to. One of the best feelings, this is going to be silly to you, but you'll understand what I'm saying. One of the best feelings you can have is when you first sit down with that buttered popcorn bucket right in your lap, the whole thing all the way to the top. Before you is quite a number of minutes of pure joy, the way I would view it. We talked about chocolate. Well, maybe you can just apply it to a chocolate, one of those big, long chocolate bars that the schools sell sometime to raise money. Get a couple of dozen of those. You see, you cling to good things. I remember, I related to you before, I believe, when I saw Lost in Space for the very first time, and it was an hour long, and I got to the 30-minute part expecting to go off, and it had 30 more minutes. And I said, I even called my mom and said, it's going 30 more minutes. You cling to it. Something that is good, you cling to it. Something that is bad, you flee from. Except in our condition, we run from what is good and we cling to what is bad. That's conformity to the world, to love the world and not to love God. That's how bad we've fallen. Cling to what is good. Embrace what is good. You start reading the Bible, you cling to it. You start understanding doctrine and the teachings of the Bible, you cling to it. Become an expert. It doesn't take very long in the Bible to go past all the people on Jeopardy who are asking about the Bible. They don't know. It doesn't take long for a Christian sincerely to look into the Bible and learn things that many professors in universities do not know about the Bible, because they don't study it. They don't cling to it. They cling to the other things. When there's something good, you cling to that. There's that shirt that many men have that they should have thrown away years ago, but they like it. They love it. They cling to it. I had a shirt that had so many holes in it that I think Cindy finally threw it away. I loved it. That's what you cling to, what you love. And if you don't love it, then start loving it. And when you truly love it, then you cling to it. That's just common sense, logical, common sense, but it's not natural sense to the lost. And people today are reversing what is good and what is evil. Rather than changing from evil to good, they're making evil good. They can stay the same then. All they have to do is redefine the term. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. You know, when I was younger, I first started reading the Bible, and I'd read a verse like this, I couldn't imagine that it would ever be applicable to anything. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. I was thinking, how could anybody do that? How could anybody call evil good and good evil. Well, it doesn't take long to have the cold water splashed on your face and you wake up and realize that a whole lot of people do that. They're calling MacArthur's church and other churches in California that it's evil to gather to worship God. But it's good not to. It's good to stay masked up at home. Don't get out, locked down, unless you're going on a riot, and then you can go out. But it's evil to put the country in danger by congregating in a church. And you're going to cost lives. And this from the people who are killing millions of babies a year, like they care about life. But they've embraced evil as good, and they have shunned good as evil. And Isaiah says from the Lord, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. It's not just a woe from God, a judgment from God, because it is. But it's a woe to them because they're completely reversed. They're completely turned around. They're 180 in the wrong direction. It's one thing to take a wrong turn and you're kind of close. You're still at an angle. You're maybe a mile out of the way. If you go the opposite way, you got to go all around the whole world to get back to where you're supposed to be. And they're completely backward. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Well, that's saying that they call darkness light. They call darkness actually truth and wisdom and enlightenment. Sinners have always, through history, identified things that they've come up with as enlightenment and things that God has come up with as darkness. So they call darkness light. In other words, they're the smart ones. They're wandering away from God. They're denying the moral commands of Scripture. They're changing sexuality and gender and all the things that we hear about today. And they're saying that that is the enlightened way. And that those who are following the Bible and believing the Bible is still valid and the things the Bible says are still valid are in darkness. So they do that. They substitute darkness for light, light for darkness. Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is them saying it's better, it's sweeter to be evil. It's sweeter. All the things that Solomon is warning his son about, they would go the opposite and say, no, that's the bitter way. The sweet way is the way we say it. Stolen bread is sweet. You know, stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. This is that thought that not only are we smarter, we're happier if we're evil. We have freed up our minds, we've freed up our bodies, we've freed up our whole being to do what we're supposed to do in ourselves. We're the sweet. We're enjoying life. And all these believers, these Christians, are having a terrible life. A bitter life, because they have to follow God, and they have to follow the Bible, and they have to go to church, and oh, they have to pray, and it's so bitter for them. You see, they switch it all completely around. The Bible does not say what they say. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not embittered is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not in darkness is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not evil is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed. But that is, when we talk about total depravity, we talk about people falling into sin, we talk about people being blind and deaf and ignorant spiritually, this is what we mean. People like to put a label on it. You know, like my old 56 truck, I had a Rolls Royce keychain on it. It really didn't change the truck to a Rolls Royce. they put another label on it. And they take off the labels that they don't like. They even do that to buildings here in America now. Because it's all about presentation. And they switch it all around. They make it all the opposite. Whoa. So they're not only angering God, they're destroying themselves because they're going down a road of woe. And all kinds of redefining will not change the end of that road. Verse 21 of Isaiah 5 says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes." You see, that was the thing that Proverbs is calling. Wisdom is calling to be wise, but see, they're already wise in their own eyes. Clever in their own sight. Proud. They've got it all together. They're ready to instruct us how to live. Live it up. They know how. Verse 22, I'm not going to go down all down the list here, but woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine. There are people who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink. I've even seen t-shirts saying that they're the world champion drinkers who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. It's happening all the time right now in this country. The Supreme Court's doing it. Other courts are doing it. Some court did it yesterday or this morning with MacArthur's church. Taking away rights. Those who are in the right are said to be wrong. And yet you can get a wicked way done by a bribe. Give you some money. Oh, yeah, I think we can work that out. That's Congress. You want something done in Congress? You donate some money and it can get done. Corruption. Both judgments come because Isaiah 5:24 says, "Therefore, as a tongue of fire consumes rubble and dry grass collapses into the flame, so their root will become like rot and their blossom blow away as dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." So those two things happen, judgment from God and judgment upon themselves from their own action. It's the same result. God is judging sometimes in the world by giving people exactly what they want. And that's not a good thing for the people who are left to themselves. So you see, the call for our day is to follow the way of the Lord. That is always the best way. And when that is abandoned, as we see in our day, it does not bring advancement. It does not bring equality. It does not bring freedom. It does not bring justice. All the things that the world thinks it's going to have a big cure for, it makes worse. They just cannot, without God, have any of the things that they say they want, because they really don't want it, because they're completely twisted around. They won't think it's good unless it's evil. They won't think it's sweet unless it's bitter. And so this is what we're living in. As I said this morning, the world must see in the Christian salt and light. We're the ones that have to keep the definitions right. For morality. The world is changing it every day. They're encouraging themselves in it every day. They get together and talk about it and convince themselves more and more every day that evil is good and good is evil. It's not wrong to hate evil. It's wrong not to hate evil. And no one should ever be able to threaten or make people feel sad that they're on a way and be intimidated by by people who say that the right way is the wrong way, who say that you're a judgmental person if you follow that. Don't shrink back from it at all. Double down on it. Because the Lord's word is not to be redefined as the opposite. We're to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. That's our job. And if nobody else follows, then nobody else will follow. God, we can't command other people. God commands each of us individually. We can't take that and apply it to somebody else. We can influence others as our position is, parents, people who serve as a pastor or other areas where you might have some influence of teaching. But the command's to us not to be complacent with evil. That's bringing a bad fruit today. But we're to cling to what is good. We're to hate and reject and get away from and have our foot not go into the direction of evil. Let's pray. The only way we know evil and good is from you. If not for you, why is our way or any other way any different than anybody else's opinion? It's just whatever they think. Lord, I pray you would convince us in the world more and more daily that your way is right. The way of the Lord is right. Your law is right. And rather than wandering in darkness and tripping over everything, your law lights the way, and we know what we're supposed to do and how we can do it in a way that would please us and keep us from destruction. So Lord, help us to hate what is evil, cling to what is good, and make an impact in our society by doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.